Okay, I'm recording.
Finally. It is time to discover the impact you can have on this world by being uniquely you. Welcome to the Create Influence Podcast. Create Influence explores how you can make your own decisions about how to create content, how to create community, and how to create a business that feels right through authentic, gut-wrenching honesty and vulnerable conversations. And today we're talking about being annoying and how not to be annoying.
Yes.
Unless that's what you want, because that's uniquely you.
Yes. If you're uniquely annoying, I guess be annoying. You'll just always be uniquely by yourself.
But here's the thing. When you're first starting out with creating content online, you learn these growth tactics and everybody's like, do XYZ in order to grow effectively and grow your social channels and get the word out and grow your influence and all of this stuff, right? And these are things that you would never, ever, ever, ever in a million years think to do yourself, because we don't operate like this normally as human beings. But it's kind of those things that we do because we're told to do it. And we think that that's going to be the thing that leads to success. And so we want to talk through those things and then offer you some actual solutions that will lead to growth and not be annoying.
And I'm David Foster, and I am just here for ear candy.
What? I know. We didn't even say your name.
I don't understand what's going on. Philip, just run the intro.
A huge thank you, by the way, before we get into all of this, to Andy Church, who tweeted and shared the podcast.
At Wrestling Andy on Twitter. He actually bought some Geeks Life merch.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he
nice.
Did.
Yep, he's a wrestler, and his Instagram profile is so cute because he's like Wrestling Andy, and then his Instagram profile is all his baby pics. Not his baby pics. Pics of his baby. It's so cute. Anyway, he said, wrestling was awesome tonight, and I got to listen to Lori Petrucci's new podcast on my drive home, and shared the link. Thank you, Andy, for doing so. We appreciate each and every one of you who do share this podcast with others. All right, shall we get into it?
Let's get into it, because this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, because I see people do it. So back when I had my company, I taught etiquette all the time and would just completely lose my mind the way people go out and try to connect with people. So this is a great topic, so let's get into it.
All right, so we're gonna give you a breakdown of different things that people do that serve and only serve to be annoying and not actually grow your influence or grow your social media or your content, any of those things. First and foremost, it's one that I deal with on a very regular basis. Tagging people in your images or posts that have abso-freaking-lutely nothing to do with the content that you're posting. This one annoys the hell out of me. It annoys the hell out of everybody, and I don't know of any single person out there who appreciates it, unless you think that this is just serving to grow your audience. So what happens is people will post, and they will then just tag a whole bunch of random people in that post, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter.
And the reason they're doing it is because they think that big creator that they're tagging is going to see it and share it or comment or something like that. But what they're actually gonna do is remove their tag, remember your name, and if you keep doing it, then if you ever reach out for a collab, they're gonna be like, oh, you're that spammer. I want nothing to do. Like, it gives them a negative view of you right from the very beginning, and you don't want, that's like setting the
negative
bar.
Negative impression right off the top.
Yeah, it's like your first impression. Like, you only get one chance to make a first impression. Now with tagging, you might get a couple if you do it once, you know, and because like, I've actually had to reach out to people and be like, hey, stop tagging me, please. Stop tagging me and stuff that I don't condone. I don't, like, so, there was somebody who tagged me in some political post of theirs. I agreed with what they were saying, and I didn't. So I had to go remove myself, and I told the person, and they were kind of offended that I said that, that I asked them not to do that. But, you know, that's like, it's almost like an endorsement that you have no control over. That's like,
me
endorsing that, and I don't. And some people that don't know about that might think that I did endorse it because my name is there.
And so if it does serve to work, if it does actually work, you're not getting quality followers, right? So like, let's pretend it actually did work and you were actually getting the benefit of new followers because that person seems to think that this other person that they follow is included in this brand of yours. It's not quality followers, because you have to attract the people who are interested in the conversation that you're having. And if they're following just because of this one tag, it doesn't make any sense. They don't know why they're following you. And so they won't be engaged in your conversation, mm-hmm. right? So you want to avoid any tactic like that that only serves to annoy. When it happens to me, and it happens to me quite a bit, I go in and I remove that tag, just like David was saying. And then sometimes if it happens constantly, I will actually message that person and say, stop it. And that's an uncomfortable conversation for all of us involved. So that's Jane, number one.
Jane in the comments is saying, definitely did some silly things recently, got kicked out of my local Facebook group. So it seems I'm guilty of some unwelcome promo posts, although was only trying to be visible, no tagging or extreme tactics. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. People think that that is making them visible, but right. it's not. What it's doing is it's going to make you eventually invisible because nobody's going to want to see your post. Don't ever tag anybody. Don't ever go in and spam in groups. Now here is there are times when you do tag someone, yeah. but I would ask permission. Mm-hmm. If you make a video that has another creator in it, when you are done with the video, say, hey, I'm going to post this. Is it okay if I tag you when I do? Get that permission. Because without that permission, if you're doing that, it doesn't matter. You are going to get a bad reputation and you're going to be noted as a spammer. And yes, you'll get removed from groups. You will get removed from front of mind because people, that it's almost like, you know, if I went into, like we walk into a restaurant as a group, and I'm like, hey, you know, we're all Satanists and we want to sit in the back, and like half of you aren't. It's like I've just tagged you all with that brand because it's my feeling and I'm the one doing the reservation. It's kind of the same thing. I just labeled you all Satanists against your will. And so you're all going over there sitting down like, oh, man, you know, so it's like, don't do that, because you always look at what you're doing and try to make it into like a real life scenario. Would you do that in real life?
Right.
Would you just walk up and
post-it on somebody and yeah. say, you believe this?
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I get it, because people are just uneducated when it comes to that stuff. They think that that's the key to growth, because everybody's like, oh, add hashtags, tons of hashtags. Yeah.
And like Jane was saying, she thought she was doing it right. And that's why we're having this conversation, because a lot, this just happens naturally because people think that they are doing the right thing. And it's just not. So we'll talk about things that you can do at the end of this podcast so that you understand where the right lines are. And so you can really understand the negative and then the positive of that as well. All right, second up is to follow relevant accounts. So oftentimes in lists that you see of how to grow your social media, it's follow other relevant accounts. Okay, great. In hopes that you are gonna get followed back. I get followed all the time by, you know, accounts that have thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands of people they're following, and I will never ever ever even look at their posts, or I will never ever ever follow them back. So people follow in hopes that you get followed back. It's a horrible way to grow your audience. We really should be concentrating on growing the right audience, not a whole bunch of random crap of followers out there. And while yes, follow counts do help you because it provides some credibility, in the more followers you have, people think that you're something to pay attention to. The better way about is taking the long haul and really
doing it organically.
Doing it organically, making sure that you're really getting quality followers, quality engagement, because I guarantee you, and I've seen this happen, this is happening more and more over time, and over, you know, several years or 13 years of doing video and sponsorships online, people are more willing to spend money on you as a sponsor, for example, when you have quality engagement versus just high numbers. And so you've got to pay attention to the fact that people are becoming more and more aware of this. And if they see you have hundreds of thousands of followers with zero engagement, it will be brought to light.
Well, then also, I always look at an account on Twitter and places like that, like how many do you follow versus how many follow you? A lot of times people have more followers. That tells me they're trying that tactic. They're trying to go follow for follow. And you don't want to do that. If you are on a platform, legitimately follow the people that you want to follow. Don't just follow somebody so they follow you back, because then you are building a false sense of success, I guess you want to call it, because you're not getting engagement. All of the algorithms are based on engagement percentage versus, so every algorithm, it doesn't matter what site it is, if they have one, it's based on the number of people you follow versus the number of people who engage when you post. The higher the percentage of people who engage when you post, the better you're going to be in the algorithm. So by trying to just grow your follower count because that's what you think is most important, it's not. It is not most important to the platforms. You may think it's most important to advertisers, but it's also not. They want to see that engagement. They are going to give you money because they want to get in front of your audience, not just because you have 100,000 followers, but because when you do a post, it takes off. So, you know, just stop thinking that way. Stop worrying about the subscriber count and just grow organically, because then you will, if you grow it organically, you will see that your engagement will stay consistent throughout. So it will increase, but I'm saying your percentage will generally stay the same. So even if you have, you know, 10 and you're getting 5, then you got 20, you get 10, it grows with you. And you want to put out good content. I mean, good content is also what gets them engaging. Personal content that you are passionate about, and something that garners a conversation, not just, you know, we were talking about this on the last podcast. There are a lot of people who just are news aggregates. You're aggregating the same old stuff that people have seen the same old way, and nobody wants that anymore. If you're not putting any kind of personality behind content that you're putting out there, then stop putting it out there. Stop aggregating news, because people don't want that. They see that everywhere. If you want to set yourself apart, you want to get real followers, people that are going to engage, then you have to put your personality behind the content that you're putting out and stop being a news aggregate.
And all of this, as a quick reminder, allows you to build content, create a business that is truly you, right? Mm-hmm. That matches who you are and that makes you grow because of your unique personality. And so that's why we're having this conversation today, because it will help you in the long run. And remember, you got to be in this for the long run. It is not a quick turn around tomorrow and have a million followers type thing.
Well, and a lot of people, what was I going to say?
I don't know what you were going to say, David.
Like when you said, you started to go.
I never know what you were going to say, David.
Right.
I can never figure out what you're thinking. It's what makes you so unique. we should start a drinking game with the word unique.
What did you just say, though?
I was just saying that these tips not to do allow you to build a business and create content that is uniquely you.
Okay, so what I was gonna say is, if you look at where things are going, the future of advertising, buying, and things like that is influencer marketing.
Yes.
It's already becoming so huge. And if you're not creating custom content that is uniquely you, you will be left behind, because TV advertising is going away. All of this advertising is going away. They're seeing the power of people who are building these large communities. And that's what it's about. When we say influence, we aren't talking about influence as in like manipulation. We're talking about influencing the marketplace, which means building a big community that advertisers want to get in front of, where you have control. You are influencing the market by having a large audience, not manipulating people. I know a lot of creators hate the word influencer, but you know, you need to look at it the way that it actually is, and that is that you're influencing the marketplace to make a change, because it's a much more, you know, you look at companies that are still buying billboards. There's probably companies that still buy yellow page ads, you know, that are just spending their money on stuff that just doesn't work anymore. The return on investment is horrible. But you see these companies that are getting behind influencers that are doing very, very well, and it's because they understand the power of just having an influencer use a product once and it can go crazy. So that is the way of the future in advertising. So that's why it's really important that you get this concept now and start working on building your community, because it's gonna matter more tomorrow than it does right now. I mean, it matters a lot right now, but
it's gonna continue to matter more and more. So I asked the community before we recorded this podcast over the weekend, I asked the community to tell me what they find annoying in the people that they follow, right? Or new channels that they see and run screaming from. So I thought we'd go to these next ones from the community. Rachel says, now this is an interesting one, because Rachel Farnsworth said giveaways. She said she used giveaways as a growth tactic and stopped using them because they give you the most useless following. And Mike Rotman actually said the same thing. He took a positive spin on it. He, you know, had 800, like winners made $800,000 in 22 different countries around the world. So he was happy for them, but it did nothing for the growth of his business. And so this is a big one that people suggest.
Yeah, you're getting people that are just there to get something free. They don't give a shit about your content or you.
No.
They don't care about you at all.
They're like, free stuff? Give it to me.
Yep, they just want free stuff. And so you are getting an audience that might go check out your content if you say you're giving something away, but if you're not, they don't care.
Yeah.
So that is the worst way to build your influence, is doing giveaways and stuff. Now you can throw giveaways in to reward the community that's already there. That's one thing.
Exactly.
But using it to build your channel is like building a, it's like if you filled up your whole garage and just said everything's free and posted on the internet, the people, like when I did that for my office, when I was moving out, I posted that we had desks and everything for free. It was a mob. And I kept having to tell people, like, they were like, I want to reserve that and come back and get it. I'm like, no, you cannot reserve it. Like, I was like arguing with people. And I was like, this was the worst idea I have ever had. I was just like trying to give back to the community. And I just got mobbed with people that were rude and didn't care about anything in there. Didn't care about like the fact that they might have already, they were just getting a desk, but they wanted three of them when there was another person there wanting a desk, you know? So don't build your channel that way.
Everybody's laughing at you in the live chat right now that we're recording this live. They're laughing at you, David, right now. So it is. Now, another way that you can offer giveaways.
Pot.
I don't know.
Whoa, the other ways you can offer pot. Do not build your channel that way either. Do not offer them pot.
No,
because then you will have a lot of people showing up looking for pot.
Podcast for some reason. I don't know why that word was coming out of my mouth.
Oh, pod. Okay.
Pod.
Okay.
Okay. When have you ever known me, David, to say pot? What? Okay. So what I was going to say was that you can offer very specific things to your audience that will attract people who are interested in your kind of content. For example, rather than giving an iPad away, because everybody wants an iPad, what you could do is, like, for our live streaming pros brand, we could offer something very specific to live video that would attract the audience that is interested in our conversation, right? So that's one way to do giveaways that's a little bit more targeted and has a better chance of return. But you'll still have a lot of people who will just want the free stuff will never engage with you.
You say camera, free live streaming camera, you're going to have people show. Like, so I see a lot of people do like reward things for their community and stuff to help them grow once they're at the, you know, hundreds of thousands of members and
sure.
stuff. But I still don't agree with that as a tactic, because like I said, The algorithms on all of these sites are based on your follower count versus your engagement on your first, like when you first released a content. Like I think it's sometimes 24 to 48 hours.
Right.
The first 24 to 48 hours that content is out in the wild, all these algorithms look for how much engagement did it get when it came out of the gate. And if you have that inflated follower number and zero engagement, they're gonna be like, yeah, okay, so this person's putting out content that nobody really wants to see, so we're not gonna waste newsfeed space with it. Do I agree with the algorithms? No, I don't like algorithms. I don't think they should be there. If you follow something, you should see it all, but this is not the world we live in anymore. Everyone has an algorithm. So if you want to beat the algorithm, then grow organically, because that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. And as Scott Jans is saying in the live chat room at the moment, he says, it's not the number of followers, it's the number of followers that convert into an end result like sales. Subs and viewers don't matter as much anymore. The marketplace, your community either likes you or don't.
Well, and I want to add to that really quick.
I think we're about to add the same thing. Go for it, David.
Well, I was just going to say, convert them into community members, into evangelists.
Exactly. As opposed to necessarily just sales,
right.
Evangelists can help you just as much as sales at the end of the day.
Exactly.
The next thing that came from the community, Robert Woolridge said, in terms of me asking what things that they find annoying, was Follow Friday. Now, Robert actually missed Follow Friday, but I know that a lot of people found Follow Friday when that was such a big thing as an annoyance rather than a benefit. And so I thought we'd bring this one up. It actually, in the section later on in this podcast where we're going to talk about positive things that you can do to grow your influence, we'll talk more about how you could actually turn Follow Friday from an annoyance to a positive. But that's something that a lot of people found annoying back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to add to that before I keep moving?
Follow Friday?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Again, it's tactics like that. It's like people are, it's almost like where you have people, hey, post your link today to your website. People think that if they post their link, people are just gonna flock to it and they're gonna get all these views. The thing is, people are posting their link hoping the same thing and nobody actually goes and visits any of those websites. So, you know, it's just this false sense of just wanting to get the word out. But the way you get the word out is just putting out consistent content. That's all you gotta do. Put out consistent content. Don't put it out for a month and then say, oh, that didn't work. Or put it out for a week and say, oh, that's not working. Oh, I got something scratching on my legs.
Come on in to the podcast, Abby.
Come on,
girl. All right. So Lisa Bear said something kind of similar, like plugging their site on somebody else's video or their site in a comment is annoying as well.
Oh, and that's the thing. YouTube, people do that all the time.
All the time.
Do not do that.
It does nothing for you. So don't do things because you think that that's just going to lead to this amazing growth. Do it for the right reasons, not because you see other people
the way that that can work is if you're going into a community like that and you're adding to the conversation all the time, you're like a regular, and then somebody asks for something and the only thing you can do is post a link to help them, that's one thing. But if you're going in there and you're just posting a link, like one thing that people do on YouTube, hey, follow for follow, go follow my channel, I'll follow yours. Like, that shit does not work, and you should never do it.
Or
you
putting follow me in the bio of your social posts. Lisa was also saying that annoys her to death.
Well, and there's also people who put, like, these long-ass names. You know what I mean? Like, I help entrepreneurs make money. Like, as their name.
I'm not going to follow somebody because of that. I'm going to follow them because I like their content.
Exactly. Use your name or your brand name. Don't try to use a name that is also a marketing tactic, because it's stupid. And you will get people that will pay no attention to you just because of your name. Because your name is a turnoff.
Yeah. MediaTek says clickbait is one annoying habit that people get into right off the bat when they're trying to grow their influence, because it's something that will attract, you know, audiences, right? So there's a fine line between clickbait and a good enticing title. So you gotta be careful. And sometimes this is more on the line of deciding what is uniquely you and what makes you feel comfortable and not icky. So we really have to, as content creators and as community builders, we have to check in with ourselves constantly, because we will wind up doing things or trying things just to see if they work. But if you check in with yourself on a regular basis and say, does what I just did make me feel a little icky, even if it's ever so slight, that will help you stay true to your path and to building your community in the best, most organic way possible that is going to lead to long-term growth, right? So clickbait is one of those things that I think, you know, all of us, it gets the best of all of us from time to time, because we're trying to create an enticing title. But clickbait, I think I would define that as not staying, like going too far and not delivering on the promise in the content itself. How would you define that?
What?
Clickbait.
Yeah. I mean,
you're paying attention to the live comments, David.
Well, because I want to address one really quick. Okay. Before. So Paul Dixon asked, what about using your company name to comment on YouTube? I see a lot of comments from long business names versus real names. I think it's fine to comment as a company name. I really do. I think companies need to have personality behind them. I think having a real person in there commenting, I think that's actually fine. And like you're even saying below, what if your username is something like Bob's Amazing Taco Truck? If that's the name of your truck, that's totally fine. What I'm saying is people that put a pitch in their username, like I help marketers make money, or let me help you make money, something like that. Like I see usernames like that, things that are just the name is pitchy. Bob's Amazing Taco Truck, I'd be like, dude, I want one of your amazing tacos. So I think that's perfectly fine. But, you know, I think there is, like, if it's Bob's Amazing Taco Trucks from Sydney, Australia's Down Under Marketplace, you know what I mean? You wouldn't want that as your name, but I think Bob's Amazing Taco Truck is fine. Do
well,
you agree?
Well, it's just because you love tacos.
But do you agree?
Well, yeah, I do agree that it's okay to use your business name.
Because that could be his business name, Bob's Amazing Taco Truck.
Yeah.
.com.
You know, it depends. For me, it depends on, and I struggle with this one myself, because we've got Live Streaming Pros and I've got Luria Petrucci. So here's where, on YouTube specifically, my Google accounts are insanely out of whack, and like I've got 15 different Google accounts, right?
You should see her desktop. Everything she has, desktop, all that stuff is completely out of control.
This isn't the time for that.
It's always David. The time for that. When you talk about organization and cleanliness and stuff of the places that you visit, it is perfectly, perfectly fine.
Okay, anyway.
Anywho.
So on YouTube, I will go in and comment as Live Streaming Pros, because in the past, I didn't want people following a YouTube channel that has nothing on that, right? So I love to know who I'm talking to when I have people commenting. So, you know, when you use an avatar name.
Like Callie Lewis. People think they're talking to Callie Lewis, but they're really talking to Luria Petrucci.
We're just gonna keep moving. So when you use an avatar name that isn't a real name or a business name, I struggle with that a little when I'm having a conversation with you, because I want to know who I'm talking to. And I notice that creators are less likely to call out business sounding names when calling out conversations or comments. So, you know, it's something that you kind of have to make your own decision on. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I'm Impartial Geek on YouTube, you know.
Right.
And I was Geek's like, Life, so I don't.
So if I go into Nick Nimmin's live streams, right, he tends to, and I don't think this is on purpose. I think it's just a natural thing. I noticed that more comments get called out from actual names versus business names.
That's not true.
That's what
if you watch Nick's podcast and Nick's videos, like the
live
streams.
I'm not saying he's doing anything.
I'm just saying he calls out business names, because he called me out all the time, Geek's Life. Whatever the name the person is posting, that's what he reads.
Okay.
And any of them that I've been on, any streams, it is totally fine to use your business. Just again, don't put a pitch in it. because that's your brand. You know, there are a lot of people that can use their name because their name is their brand, but I can't use David Foster. Right. I could have it nowhere.
That's true.
There's nowhere I could use that. So, you know, I have to go buy a brand. And yeah, I want to go buy a brand. Point. I don't want my personal name out there all the time. I don't want people to know that that's me necessarily. So.
And just to call out somebody in the comments, Michael Healy is asking, would this be okay? Michael's amazing curry and web design and marketing and photography.
Totally spammy.
No, no.
Totally spammy. No, do not do that.
That's crossing that line of too much.
Yeah.
Okay, so coming back to our list of things not to do, Darcy Law said, friending you and then asking for business. So there are these services that you can get that will set up an automatic DM. And I've seen a couple people in the live chat room mention this as well. So when somebody follows you, it sends then an automatic DM to that person saying, thank you so much for following me. Here's how we can connect further, and links to an opt-in or to your website or something like that. Annoying as hell.
That's one thing that pisses me off about LinkedIn. pisses me off about LinkedIn because I get that more on LinkedIn than anywhere else. Like people doing that stuff. And that is one of the things. If you go to an event, any kind of marketing event or creator event or any kind of event where you are interacting with creators, you're interacting with business people, if you have a conversation with them, or if they like one of your posts online, or they comment on one of your posts online, that is not an invitation to add that person as a friend. That is not an invitation, because you're gonna make that person uncomfortable because they do not want you to. I have a steadfast rule for my friends on Facebook, and that is I either really know them or they are people that I actually have connections with. Now, there are some people, there are instances where I have had relationships with people in communities for so long that I actually consider them friends, and those people I will add. But if I go to an event and I meet, for instance, I don't know, Mark Ducker just happens to come up and say, hello, chap, what's happening? And then I'm like, oh, not much, how's it going? Interaction, bye, nice to see you. I walk away, I'm gonna add him on Facebook. We're friends now. No, that is not true. Do not be that person. Don't go adding people as friends just because they like a comment or anything like that, because that is spamming. It really is. That is like, you know, if you walked in to a grocery store, okay, this is an analogy I like to use. You walk into a grocery store, you're pushing your cart, you see somebody that's putting taco shells in their basket next to you, you're like, oh, wow, you like tacos, yep. And then the next thing, they go home and you show up at their door. Hey, will you be my friends? We can make tacos together. That's the same thing. Don't do that.
I noticed you didn't get any lettuce, so I thought I'd bring you some lettuce and we can make tacos together.
Yeah, will you be my friend, please? I only got 4,000.
And it's, you know, I get it. I get why people think that that is the way to grow and to network and to connect, but it's the wrong way, mm-hmm. especially as you start to talk to people who have bigger audiences.
Now you can follow yes. them on Facebook. You can follow them on Twitter.
You can
if they have public things that they're putting mm-hmm. out there, you can follow that and see what they're saying.
You can even try messaging them.
No.
You could.
No. Do not message them. No. Do not message people. That is you. No. I can't believe you were just going to finish that sentence. Do not message them. No. That is even worse. That's like.
But Facebook puts it in the other. It is bad. It is bad. I guess sometimes I don't mind it, but it's. Yeah, it's not a good tag. It's not a good thing.
I don't mind it if I've requested. Hey, when I get back, yes. you know, if you want to talk this over, just send me a message.
Right.
I have connected with people on Messenger, gave them my code, and connected with them. And yes, I have done that. But that is at my request. Do not be sending people messages.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you should not have.
I take it back. Okay. Paul is asking if I meant a public tweet.
No, she did not. She meant a freaking message.
But like on Twitter, I have my DMs turned on to anybody. I probably shouldn't say that right now, but I do because there are times when people want to have a private conversation. And like, that's the beauty of Instagram, is that you can have private conversations, right? So in certain platforms, DMs are totally okay. Facebook is where that private message gets nasty, or not nasty, that's probably going too far, but where it gets uncomfortable and overwhelming. So it depends on how that person is managing their social, to be honest.
Well, can I say this? It's so a lot of people, okay, so, and I'm not putting anybody down that doesn't have a decent sized following, but if you have a smaller following, you're like, oh my gosh, somebody's sending me a message. Awesome. You want it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really become a problem until you're getting like 50 to 100 a day.
Right.
That's when it becomes a problem. So you don't set that precedent from the beginning that it's okay for people to message you. If that's something that you want to do, like Sunny Larenduzzi on Instagram, she encourages people to message her. That's totally fine. That's her brand. But also, once she gets up into the million follower count, she's going to be responding to a lot less. And it ends up becoming a bad experience if you set that precedent for your viewers, because you've already said, oh, I answer messages and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you're not answering thousands of people, and it becomes a bad experience for them. So it's better to just not set that precedent from the beginning. And there are times...
I don't know. I disagree with that. I get what you're saying, David, but... I love encouraging private conversations myself, and I do get a lot of messages, right? Even in the past when I had way more, when I had a bigger following, I loved that private conversation because it meant that I was doing what I'm what I care most about. Our core
values
in our
company. Okay, but do you have time? Do you have time to go in and respond to those though? You don't.
Well,
You'll pick and choose which ones you respond to. If somebody doesn't send a message that you feel like you want to answer, you just don't answer. And so it becomes picking and choosing.
If I have that on, like on Instagram or Twitter, I do respond to every one of them. It just may take me a little bit, but I just find like times where I'm not trying to work to do that kind of stuff. I think it depends on how that person is running their social, if they encourage it or not. You do have to pay attention to it, and there's no one place to find that information, right?
And I think Paul is exactly right. If it's a brand company name, I think it's more acceptable to DM versus a personal profile. I agree somewhat with that, but you also have, I'm talking about brands too. So, you know, like for instance, Impartial Geek, that is my brand. And like I said, I don't mind people having conversations publicly. I don't mind going back and forth in a Facebook post or whatever. I will have conversations all day long there. I just don't want them in my private messages, because that's where I talk to my family. That's where I talk to my friends. That's where I have conversations going on all the time. I don't want that mixed.
Okay, so I'm trying to, because we disagree slightly on this, so I'm trying to find a rule that you can follow, right? Okay, so that it's beneficial, not just, okay, well, you guys disagree, now I don't know what to do. So let's turn this into a lesson for you. I think where both of us would agree is that when, like most people, if I'm gonna have a private conversation with you through a DM, I am okay with it lasting for a little bit, right? But not like long term. Like if it just is a conversation that you just keep asking questions or keep pushing, keep going, and it doesn't feel really organic, and like I'm asking, if I'm not like asking you for a follow-up question, then it's probably time to stop, right?
But how are people supposed to know that? If you set the bar that you can send me a message and you respond, then at some point you opened that conversation. So now they think that it's okay. So at what point are they supposed to be like, well, I guess she's decided this is too much in her head.
Well, let's put it into perspective of a party, right? A physical in-person conversation. When that person isn't fully engaged, where they're like asking you for follow-up questions, they're asking you more questions and more questions and more questions, and you're the one kind of pushing the conversation forward, that's the line. That's where you know that it's probably time to kind of wrap it up, right? Does that make sense?
No, because the majority of people don't know that line. Otherwise, we wouldn't get the messages that we get on our page on a daily basis, where we are having people.
That's
ask,
why I'm saying that line.
I know, but you're saying it, but it's not understood.
Is that not unclear?
Is that not clear? It's clear when you say it, but you're not saying it through the text of the conversation when they start it. You should say in your thing, conversations welcome, but please don't overdo it. You're allowed one response and one follow-up.
I think that's just etiquette, is that you kind of
but you
have
think
a
that, but
social
see,
understanding
don't get that.
Of when you are done.
People don't get that, no. Otherwise, they wouldn't be posting links. We wouldn't be having this conversation if it wasn't something that happened. You look at the conversations that we get on our page all the time in our messages.
Yes.
People asking, what's the best camera for live streaming? What should I buy? Okay, somebody might see that as a sales opportunity. All right. I see that. I don't see that as a sales opportunity. I still answer them and then they'll be like, okay, well, I have this as my budget. So it's like, I use Google. Like I just Google that, you know, and I understand that people are trying to find a simple way to find that information, but we don't have the bandwidth for that. So yes, that's why we set up Messenger bots on Facebook to deal with that kind of stuff. But you don't do that on your personal profile generally. And so you're expecting people to just know.
To have some common sense.
To have some common sense. And I have had people ask me, like I get all the time, I get messages that are this long about everything they're wanting to do with live streaming. On Messenger, they'll send me a message expecting me or thinking that I'm actually going to respond. And so I would rather not respond because what am I going to say? This is way too much. I don't want to help you with that. And I literally get paragraphs of their, I'm trying to do a live stream and I'm having my camera is shaky or whatever.
Okay, so the conversations that I'm referring to are not that, right? It's more like, okay, so somebody responds to my Instagram post or my story and I start to ask them questions about, you know, why they
that's
say,
totally different.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's totally different because you have that respond on stories.
Correct.
So people are responding to stories. That's different. That is what I'm talking about when I'm saying I will have conversations around content.
Yeah.
I will do
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about just personally messaging okay. somebody to start a conversation that
Got
is
it.
Not related to any content.
Okay. So that clears that up.
Does it? Does it? Does that really cover it up? clean that up.
Andrew says, in real life, you might start a conversation with the same person several times at the same party. So if you walk away, I don't talk to you again. No, of course you're going to, it's not like you get to DM me once and then that's it for the rest of your life. It's just as an ongoing conversation. Like, yeah, that conversation kind of comes to a natural close. You move on. You might come back to each other.
By leaving that open, you are setting that as a precedent. You have to.
I get it, but you also want to have, you also want to build community.
You do. There's a way to you want to teach people that the best way to build community. We're telling people don't be tagging people, don't be using the wrong hashtags, and that stuff like that. Sending somebody a personal message is and asking them a question about something like that is worse than tagging them. Because
I'm
then,
not
then,
saying sending them a message asking them for free advice.
But that's
We're
but when you open up messages in general, that's exactly what you're opening up. That's exactly what you're opening up. If you open that up in general, that's what you're opening up. And Paul, I do have been posting links to my consultancy page for some people. But some people, it's a paragraph. I don't even want to talk to them about it. In a consult because I know that they don't have a budget by what they're saying.
When it comes to conversations like that and you're asking for advice, I feel like this is a completely different thing, right? The etiquette around that is to look at that person's services and website and look to see what they offer. And if you can get the education that you're looking for from that person from a course or a consult or something like that, you should be doing the prep work before asking that company or that brand or that person for free advice, right? Like, yeah, we offer free advice constantly. That's what our content is all about. But you should be aware of that line. Like, nobody Nobody doing content online can offer free advice constantly of all for all time in all the different ways for everybody. There's just, it's not even possible. So you need to be ahead of the game there and do your prep work, see if they have availability on their website, right? And otherwise, the DMs asking for that individual advice is probably more, is probably better done in a live stream or a way that they have offered their time for that free advice. Does that make sense?
And Paul said something very funny. He said, if you would have thought the way that I did, I wouldn't have been able to send you that email asking you for advice way back in the day.
That's right. That's how we met.
But the thing is, you encouraged that. That's different.
I encourage
people to email me, if I encourage, like I do give my email on stream sometimes saying, if you have a question, email me. I don't mind if I put it out there and I'm saying, email me about a certain thing, I'm putting it out there. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm. I encourage that. But what I'm saying is unsolicited messages for advice, for sharing what you, unsolicited selling of your products, unsolicited, hey, you're hot.
That's an entirely different story.
Are you married? You know, that kind of thing. I'm talking about completely unsolicited messages.
Okay. All right. So I think we're really in agreement here.
It took us a while to get there. Yeah, I think we are. If it's based around content, I don't mind having conversations at all. I love having conversations. Yeah. That's why I do what I do. It's like I'm trying to have a conversation out here and somebody jumps right in your face and be like, hey, can you help me? And you're just like, I was just talking to these people. Go to my consult page and maybe.
And yes, Paul is pointing out having a copy paste answer to help with some of that conversation. If you are dealing with that yourself as a content creator online,
I really wish I could put a bot on my personal Facebook. I would put a bot on there because the majority of messages I get in my other folder are people asking me, and I'm serious. I would love to show you one. They're like this long. Explaining their whole, and I feel bad not, I really do. I do feel bad not answering, but if I set that bar, then I've done it because I used to respond to everybody. And by doing that, then it was like take. And I just don't have the bandwidth to do that anymore.
Okay. Let's keep moving to actual lessons of what you can do to grow your influence in a positive, constructive way that doesn't annoy people and reflect badly on you as a brand. So we've talked about some of that already, but we want you to create the content and create your business that feels good to you. And here are some ideas for you so that you can do that. Actually engage with your followers. There's one. We were just talking about this, actually, you know, with the actually opening up for conversation. Engaging with your followers is one that shouldn't have to be said, but does have to be said. And so if you actually have conversations, and here's how I like to look at it. When somebody engages with you and comments on your YouTube video, for instance, what are you gonna say? They say, hey, this is a great video, thank you. And what do you say? Thank you. That's your normal response.
Or you got the thumb up in the heart. You can just do that.
Yeah, you got a reaction, right?
That's what I generally do, just react.
Don't do that. Do more than that. Actually engage with your followers, and you're immediately going to turn them into more loyal community members and kickstart that engagement that David was talking about earlier, that has social kind of social proof in the social algorithms desire.
And you do that while you can, because there does come a point where you get, so if you look at like a Peter McKinnon on YouTube, he physically cannot respond to every comment. He gets thousands.
But.
So he does go in and hearts a bunch of them and stuff like that, just to show that he's there. And seeing that notification that Peter McKinnon loved your content, that is enough. You don't have to go in and respond to everything. Now, sometimes you do want, if you're a small enough channel and you can have it, like I do, I go in and respond to every comment. But there comes a point where you absolutely cannot do that. So get in the habit of liking as many as you can, or hearting them, or whatever you can, just to somehow show that person that you appreciate them taking the time to stop by and comment on your content.
I would say when you're starting out, definitely respond to everything and just put a lot of effort into that conversation. Once you get to higher numbers where it really is it takes a lot of time and it's almost impossible to get through all of that, I would say look at Peter Hollins. Peter Hollins has over 1 million subscribers on YouTube, but does an amazing job at actually engaging with his audience. And while he doesn't engage with every single one, he makes it feel like he is there present in his community. And so, you know, there are tons of people out there who do it well, but, well, I wouldn't say tons of people. Actually, there are very few people who do it well at that scale. And Peter Hollins is one person who does it amazing. Another one, say what you think. This is something that one that's really hard for people because they're afraid of making waves. Don't be afraid of making waves. Invite conversation. Since this is the place to have raw, vulnerable conversations, I'm talking to myself here, right? Mm-hmm. I definitely do have problems making waves. That is my nature, and it's been the thing that has been taught to me over and over and over through life experiences for 34 years.
She walks
years.
Into the pool so slow, like not even a ripple. And I jump right the hell in. I'm like, cannonball!
That's why you're good for me, David. And scare me to death all the time and make me very uncomfortable. But like, I learn a lot from the way you are. I think you can maybe learn something from me too, though, David.
I have. I've learned how to keep my desktop clean.
Okay, well, not exactly what I was thinking.
Because I look at that and I'm like, whoa.
But when it comes to claiming your stake in the content creation
meat.
World.
Meat. Claiming your
what?
Meat.
What?
You said steak.
Oh.
Staking your claim.
Oh. I'm an idiot.
Your claim, not claiming your steak. Claim your bacon. Or bacon your claim. Stake
and
your claim.
If you're new to me, you'll notice that I don't know how to say phrases whatsoever. I get them backwards and upside down all the time. Welcome to me. That's just me. And that's uniquely mean. Okay, so, but actually having a thought, an individual thought, and saying it and standing by it is the way to build your influence online. If you try too hard, and I see this conversation inside our like live streaming pros students all the time, if you try too hard not to make waves, and women, we deal with this more than men probably, but if you try too hard to ride that middle line, it will hurt the influence that you can have and the impact that you can have by building a community that believes what you believe and that wants to have that conversation around what you are staking your claim in.
I think Marie Forleo is a perfect example because she just says it how she wants to say it. Swears, whatever. She is real, genuine. You know, there's another podcast. I can't remember what these girls are called. Girls something. But they are just raw and open. And it really, like, they have huge audiences because of that. Because like we were talking about, you can be a news aggregate or a content aggregate. And what I mean by that is you can just put out the same thing as everybody else. And it's just drab. It's just, you know, you're not bringing out your personality. You're just reading words on the page. Hey, this phone has this specs. This phone does this. This phone does that. Or sharing the latest news articles from CNN and all these computer companies and all this other stuff. You're just an aggregate for information. Sure, you will build a little bit of an audience. But when you put your personality into it and you are, you know, we're going to dedicate a podcast to talking about this, but you know, the swearing thing, you just are who you are. And that's what her and I had to agree on this podcast, that if it's going to be uniquely you, then I'm going to talk the way that I talk. It doesn't matter. If I feel like swearing, I'm going to swear. I have to do that because otherwise that's not me being me. That's me being somebody else to fit whatever it is that they're trying to fit me in. And I'm not going to do that on something where we're talking about being uniquely us. Right. We kind of had that conversation because even though we are, she cusses all the time here, but she doesn't want to do it on the podcast because of all the years that she has spent being this kid-friendly brand. Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna
dive deep into that conversation in a separate podcast, like David said. And so I will tell you in that podcast why I have done that. But
what we always say is there has been tons of content put online, and even if you are doing the exact same content as everybody else, nobody has ever done it the way you will do it if you bring out your personality, because the story has not been told in your way by you, with your voice. And I think that that is what creates people who are fans versus people who just watch because you're an information dump. They don't really, they're just there to get the information and on with their day. They don't care about you. You're not like humoring them. They're not laughing. I mean, I've seen some people deliver content so monotone and I'm just like, how does this person have any following? And which is fine that they do. It's great that they do. And that might work for some people. I mean, if you're somebody that's watching this and you're a monotone person, there's hope. You can do that. You still got to do it your way, though.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Next up. Yes, you want to stake your claim. You want to engage with people. But you also, this is necessary, you must engage with other people's conversations to grow your influence and grow your audience. If you're going to use social, then be social. And I will say right now, because David's about to point at me, I will say that when I get busy, I just kind of use social as a soapbox, right? And I'm engaging with people, but I'm not really going into the people I follow and looking at their feeds. When I get busy, I get really bad at this one tip. Right, that I'm saying is so important, because it is important. It's how you grow your influence by having conversations in other people's conversations and just providing value and being an engaging member of their community. And I'm right now, like in the last 2 years, I've been terrible at that. I used to be really good at it. But it is an important piece of growing your influence online in a way that is all about you, right? It is all about your conversation and your thoughts and helping other people grow their channels as well. And look for ways to help others for free. As you're having those conversations in somebody else's community that you're following, look for ways to help their community. This one thing will do wonders for your influence online. Just if somebody in the comments is asking, let's say you go to YouTube or you're in a Facebook group or whichever, and somebody is asking a question about how to accomplish something and you know the answer, and the community or that content creator is not necessarily responding to all of the comments, then go in and provide some value. Don't pitch. Don't link off to...
Did you just say bitch?
I said pitch.
Oh.
Don't link off to a video or your website or I can help you if you DM me. Don't do any of that. But do provide actual value to other people for free. Mm-hmm. And as you're getting started, that's one of the best ways to grow your audience, is just by being of value to other people in other people's communities.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. Share other people with your audience. So as you know, you think about who you're following and who you love. This is the opposite take on Follow Friday. You can actually, well, it's kind of just a change up on Follow Friday. Instead of just doing Follow Friday and a whole bunch of people, do it where you actually say, hey, these are people that I follow and I love because of XYZ. Provide some context around that and help other people grow through sharing other people with your own audience. Don't have a mentality of it's all me, 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 me. Then, you know, if you have that open, friendly mentality and you're willing to share other people with your own community, that will also be very helpful.
Just don't tag that person that is whose content you're sharing unless you ask them first.
No, I would disagree with that. That is,
I'm saying if you're sharing, like for instance, if I was going to share Peter McKinnon's post on Facebook, I would not tag him on Facebook. I would just share his content. Because again, you're getting into that area where they have to go in and deal with that notification.
No.
Yes.
No. When you're saying, if somebody is sharing my content, I want to see that.
You see it in the, you can still go into your back office and see who shared your content, but it's not tagging you with a notification. You still go in there and see that this person mentioned you because they're sharing your content. I'm saying tagging them.
No, I disagree with that because the tagging issue is when it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. I want to know what conversation is happening around my brand and my
you
content.
You do. You still do in your back office. That's how you manage that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where on Twitter?
I'm not talking. Twitter's different. Twitter.
It depends on the platform.
It does. Twitter is different because everybody at tags everybody on Twitter. That's completely different. I'm talking specifically on Facebook. I'm saying if the platform does not like. So for instance, it's a thing that I shut off on my page tagging. Maddie Hapoya, for instance, I am managing his Facebook page. I shut off tagging because people were tagging him in stuff in his own videos when they were sharing it. He already gets notified that people shared stuff in the back office. Then he's also getting a thing saying that this person mentioned you. So it just convolutes the notification. So we shut it off completely.
Hmm. Well, I don't mind being tagged. If you're tagging me in a, hey, this person creates amazing content. Here's something that I think my community would enjoy. That doesn't bother me in the least.
No, it doesn't bother you. But you're not getting thousands of tags a day.
True.
It just depends because if they are getting thousands of tags a day, that's what I'm saying. They end up just shutting it off. They end up having, if you tag them, they end up having to shut that feature off because their notifications for the things that they actually want then get convoluted. You're making it a bad experience for that person.
I think that by
tagging their stuff. And I'm basically talking about bigger
Facebook
creators.
Bigger,
well, no, I'm even talking about YouTube at some points. If you think about the experience that you're creating for that creator. If you decide you want to share their stuff and you're tagging them, the reason you tag somebody on Twitter is because you want them to be part of the conversation, not just draw attention because you're sharing their content. That's already going to draw attention to the fact that follow them.
Yeah.
If you're tagging them too, then you're trying to pull them into a conversation that they're not asking to be pulled into.
So Facebook and YouTube, not Twitter. Yes.
No, I said Twitter is awesome as well. If I'm sharing a video Peter shared, he's already going to be in there, but he's not going to be getting notified of that.
I'm not really talking about share. Well, so there are two different ways of doing this, right? Sharing and then just creating a brand new post and starting a conversation around that. Like, hey, this person creates amazing content. Here's a link to a video that's not a shared post. Like, I'm not resharing or quoting or retweeting, right?
I know, but my only point is, if it's somebody that you're going to share all the time or something like that, it is like you are trying to pull them into a conversation that they're not asking to be part of. They might be very flattered.
Fair.
They're flattered that you're sharing their content, but they didn't ask you to. You know, like I'm saying, most probably wouldn't mind, especially smaller creators. But when you get up to the level of creator like Peter, like Maddie, like Casey Neistat, they get tagged thousands of times. Think about the experience that you're creating for them.
Agreed with that. And I think it does depend on the type of person that you're sharing with.
But again, I say you set the precedent. You don't do it from the beginning so that you're never tempted to do it at all. You know what I mean? You set that bar when you get started so that you're following etiquette from the very beginning.
Okay, here's an example of something I did, right? Mike Michalowicz is an author of a book that I was listening to on an audiobook at the gym. I tweeted after I got done with my workout, I tweeted, oh my God, Mike Michalowicz, tagged him, just made me LOL at the gym. Love his new book, in the name of it, right? And I, like, I was sharing authentically content that I really was enjoying, and I tagged that person. That kicked off a conversation between him and I, right? And then other people actually found value out of that book as well. And so there, you know, I, that is not a bad way to tag and to share content.
You know, okay, so for, here's where I think it gets, this is where it gets convoluted and it gets different.
Do you guys like this debate?
Because for blue check marks, people that are blue check marks, completely different experience. It's a completely different experience for people that are not.
Right.
Right? So it's like, if you have people that are having a conversation that are blue check marked, then the notification system is different for you. Completely different.
Yeah.
Than it is for somebody who is not. Where you, where the problem is, true, is you have thousands of people that are tagging these people, you know, trying to pull them into conversations. And people will specifically say, I mean, there's people that I know that will not retweet anything that's not from a blue check mark account, right? Or they won't conversate with people that are not from a blue check mark account because they don't know what they're, what they're getting into. So I just, I don't know. I think that it, I think that it changes as you grow, but I think if you, if you set the bar from the beginning and that's one of your standard practices, then you're just setting yourself up in the long run to potentially irritate bigger creators.
Right.
But again, it is also platform specific because different platforms encourage different things. Because when I do share something from Peter McKinnon, he's automatically in there. But it's not, but he's not, those notifications are filtered differently. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I'm trying to,
I guess I've just been verified for so long, I don't know what you little people have to deal with. I'm just joking.
Wow. Us I'm little people.
I'm joking. It was a joke.
That was not cool.
I don't know what the difference of the, what that difference is, to be honest.
You only have like 180,000 more than me. So don't be saying that.
The moral of this story is think before you act.
Yes. Just think about it, you know?
Think about the experience on the other end. Think about what you're doing. Definitely try to grow and have that that influence and that growth with your content. Absolutely. We want you to grow.
Blue
and
check
mark.
That's
why we're
Jaya.
Having the... Hold on. You're breaking the rule of the podcast.
Jaya just asked, what is the blue check mark? Because people are listening. They might not know what that is. That just means a verified account. That is a verified Twitter account is a blue check mark. Continue what you were saying. I just
David has a hard time doing, like, thinking about the podcast listener while we're recording live, David. But anyway, think about that. We want you to create influence online in a way that is truly going to serve you and create a world around you that is beneficial to what you're trying to create. These are some ideas. These are some thoughts for you. And hopefully you enjoyed, and we'd love your feedback. Hopefully you enjoy the debate here, right? Like we told you at the beginning, this podcast is raw, you know, vulnerable conversations. I will tell you what I do wrong and when I screw up. David never does anything wrong, so he'll you know, it'll never happen for him. But I'm just joking.
I do all kinds of things wrong.
Oh, yes, you do. I was just being nice. but no, hopefully you enjoy the debate.
But by saying that, you just make it sound like I don't think I do anything wrong.
I was just joking. I wasn't saying.
He thinks he doesn't do anything wrong. Bullshit.
But definitely leave us, if you are subscribing on Anchor, you can actually leave us a voice message and tell us what you thought. Tell us what you want. And if you have any suggestions, ideas, or comments, please do have that conversation with us. If you can't tell from this episode, we love community and we love conversation.
And we don't always agree.
No,
and you don't have to.
We don't always agree. Yeah, and that's the beauty of a community is that you can create an environment where you have an open, honest conversation where debate is okay. Negativity is not, but debate is.
Right. Debate is okay. And different ways we do things. Some of us might do things one way and be too, like, for instance, swearing. I'm comfortable swearing. She is not.
Right.
So on a live stream, that's a difference that we have, and it doesn't. Leave a comment, but don't tag us, Paul said.
You can tag me all you want.
Whoa.
Whoa, David.
Luria.
David.
Wow. You said it, not me.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I know this was a long podcast episode. Hopefully it was super valuable for you, and we will see you in the next one.
We will.
No, we won't. We'll... I keep doing that.
We will hear you.
I am so used to video.
You will hear us in the next
one. You will hear us in the next one.
Is that what we should say then?
I don't know.
You will hear us?
We got to work on this ending, David.
Yeah. Well, you wrote it all out, so I figured you'd have it down.
I didn't write the ending. I didn't prepare the ending.
Well.
Darn it. And bye.
And cut. And scene.